Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we are right here, right now, because it is in your plan and your purpose. Heavenly Father, may we align with your plan and your purpose and willingly say, Lord, I will do it. I will live faithfully to you. We know that Jesus gave his life for us, and now let us give our life to him. We give thanks in Jesus' name. With praise and worship, amen. Today is a good day, and like every day, it has its concerns. Tomorrow, we trust, will be a good day, and there will be tomorrow's concerns. And that's just how life goes. There is so very much good in life, and we know that it is right to prepare for the changing seasons of the year. There's a time for planting, a time for harvest, a time for preparing the farm tools and equipment, and a time for rest. Last week, I was talking to a friend, and we were talking about having food, and what if the economy shuts down? And I said, you can still plant a garden. He asked, this time of year? Yes, but you're limited on what you want to plant. And that's how I think of things are today. It's a time, and we have to see what's the best choice and make decisions, have directions. A lot of people around us are seeing the signs of the times, and most of these people are in one of two categories. One says, oh my, what am I going to do? There could be trouble coming, and it's too late for me to do anything. Besides, I don't have enough money to do what I want to do. The second general kind of people will say, God will provide. I read Matthew 6:25, and it says, God feeds the birds and clothes the lilies of the field. So I know God will take care of me. Okay, that's good reasoning. But by that reasoning, you could stop going to the grocery store. You could stop buying clothes. Because he will provide. So there's a third category of people that just is growing and growing. And that are the people who see changing times ahead, and they are preparing. Yes, they are preparing, all in different ways, because it's just so human to see things differently. And we do. We all see things differently, so we prepare in different ways. I mean, I don't know what to prepare for. I just know there's some basics that are always good to do. I know I've read plenty of books about people who have had hardships. And I know in the past I have heard people in the media talk about hardships that people are having. Often enough, it's in a foreign land. And there are people who have had great hardships of not having enough. Often it's not having enough food. And I've talked to people who've gone through that little trial, big trial. And I've seen people in other lands that have had trials, hardships. Often enough, it is not enough food. Now, that's not a problem that we have had in our country. Oh, but in the 1930s it did happen during the Great Depression. There have been estimates, scholarly estimates, that 7 million people died from hunger in America during the Great Depression. So we know that there can be things happen absolutely anywhere, even in our own backyard. 7 million people would have been 15% of the population. That's a high percentage. There are a lot of people who suffer from hunger all over. In the world today, the United Nations says that 9 million people in the world die from hunger each year. I did hear this number. I have not been able to confirm it, but I think it's correct. That in the 20th century, more people starved to death than in all the wars combined. Well, check that number for yourself. I couldn't, but I heard it, and the guy sounded reasonable. Anyway, back to the United States. We all think that we today could never be affected by starvation and death in that way. And we might say the reason is because our nation has been so very blessed by God. So nothing bad like that could ever happen here. That's what some people say. And maybe you can reflect just for a moment on just how well we as a nation are doing in following God's principles, God's commandments. Yeah, if you've noticed, there are principles in the Bible, and when people follow God's principles, the people are blessed. And the people who disregard God's principles, they have troubles. They have some really serious consequences. Well, it's a matter of keeping your eyes open and your brain thinking so you can think and see all the things around you. And I hope you do give it a very serious look and see what category you settle into. Are you obedient to God's will? Or do you follow your own path? Do you follow the things that you want, your own desires? It's a question we all have to look at and see what is really important in our life. Are we the most important thing, or is God? Well, there's questions. And I've noticed that these days that people are questioning if there should be public meetings or church services. And if that's the case, are masks recommended? Or is it a requirement? And what if it's not enforced? Do we have to follow the laws completely all the time? Well, it certainly is a big question nowadays. And I know there are only a few pastors who are allowing worship without a face mask. But there are a few. And our nation is certainly divided about this question. Just last month, there was a CDC report that said that of the U.S. deaths, only 6% could be directly linked to the corona COVID virus. That means that 94% of the deaths had some very notable underlying causes. And so they couldn't say that COVID was the cause of death after all. So there's some people who look at that CDC statistic and say, there must not be a pandemic. Oh, John MacArthur was one of those people. Now, he was on public media talking about that. He had to conclude that there was not a real pandemic. That what was behind this claim of a pandemic would have been Satan. He was behind Corona, COVID-19 deception. And on his little video, he said that next week he was going to preach on that, how there is a great level of deception and how it lines up with the book of Revelation. So I think I'll listen to John MacArthur this weekend and see what he has to say about that. It is all very interesting. We live in interesting times. There is a lot going on. I'm pretty sure that most people have already made up their minds about masks and if they're good or not good. I wish we would have a more open mind to figure out what is really a good idea or not a good idea. Can we look at it fresh? I don't know. We've had so many influences. But people don't seem to want to listen to the reasonings. It's a question that we have already pretty much decided on both sides of the question, if they are good or not good. Well, I hope you seek the truth. And whatever the real truth is, I hope you look at it. There are people who would say that viruses are very small and they are not stopped by a face covering. Not even an N95 mask. It does stop the spittle, but not the viruses. It's a question of, well, I think we would do well to look into. There are quite a few pastors. No, I shouldn't say quite a few. There's only a few. There's only a few pastors who are allowing people the individual freedom to choose if they have a mask or not. They are so concerned with being cited by the civil authorities or following the laws. And it's a question, that's for sure. I know of one North State pastor who does allow his congregation to choose whether they're going to wear a mask or not. And he was out on the downtown area, and he was loudly accused of being a murderer by someone because he would allow that decision. And that other man was yelling at him and telling him he was a murderer because he did not require face masks in his church. How did we get through all these years without a face mask? Well, this is a question, and a lot of health professionals have that question. It's not a simply and decided issue. It is not. The effectiveness of a face mask is not certain. So, while we have this debate, we have people with strong opinions in the regular population and in the medical community. A lot of people have very different views on it. Well, it does make me wonder about this kind of an attitude. What are we going to do when we are all required to have something else? Are we going to comply with it? How will we do it when that mark comes along? The mark that you have to have in your right hand or your forehead. It's for our own good. It's for society's benefit, they will say. And so you have to take it. You must. It's the law. Yes. So I think we are getting accustomed to saying yes to whatever the requirements are in front of us. And that makes me think back to seventh grade. There was a joke going around, and you would ask somebody, oh, like a dozen questions, 10, 15 questions. They would be obvious questions with an obvious answer of yes to each question. So the person would say yes, yes, yes to every question. And then the next question would be an obvious no. But the person would respond yes, even when the answer was no, because they were conditioned to saying yes, yes, yes. But the obvious answer was no. That was going back to seventh grade. Oh, well, anyway, are we conditioned? Are we being conditioned to being controlled and saying yes to the authorities? Yes, of course we are. That's a part of the process we go through. Is there a real answer? I don't know, but I hope we all think. I about masks, it does make me think about, a few hundred years ago, when those elite people of society held a masked ball where one's identity was masked or hidden. And sometimes you really didn't know who the person was. And sometimes you could tell. That's what the written historians say, the people who kept journals. Well, one of the things that happened during those masked balls was that someone's behavior was played out in a different way than they ever would have acted if their identity had been known. And so I have to wonder, is that one of the things that happens when we wear a face mask? Are face masks encouraging the looters to do what they would never do if their identities were publicly known? Right. It's a question. And that kind of brings me to mind a photograph I saw of buses. This was on the East Coast, kind of like by Florida. There were a picture of seven buses all parked together in a truck stop. And they were really nice buses. And on two of them, there were initials of, the Bureau of Land Management. Well, not quite, but it was those initials, BLM. And, of course, it was the people who were protesting. And those buses had to have been transporting people to some kind of a organized event. Yes, like a protest. But I was struck by how nice those buses were. And they were just all parked together in one place. After getting fuel, they were getting a rest stop or a little breather along the way. Well, it's not that we have knowledge of it, and I don't know for sure anything about that. It's just those are the indications. And so we have to take the information we see and make sense of it. It's not that we always know, and we should say when we don't know, because, well, we have to be careful of our conclusions. And we see the things, the protests going on all over the place. Like in Portland, you've no doubt heard that there have been 100 days of protest in Portland, right close to that. And the news reports that the Portland District Attorney recently released a group of protesters from jail without charging them. And it was observed that those same protesters would be out the very next day protesting. And they weren't charged. Interesting. I'm not sure what it means, but it's something which we ought to pay attention to. How is this going on? Obviously, when the police take the effort to arrest someone and the district attorney does nothing, well, we are in for something. It's something. Okay, another subject. Did you hear that the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell was at a meeting with domestic and central bankers? It was an annual meeting held in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And a lot of those high-level bankers were there. And guess what they were talking about? Do you know? Well, we don't know because they don't have the minutes of the meetings. But if you have a little look at what's going on, you kind of get an idea of what they probably were talking about. Oh, like a couple of days ago, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, he was rejecting the idea of Speaker Pelosi's bid to pass a $2.2 trillion package for jobless Americans. The money spending is an issue that is going to go on and on. And it adds to our $26 trillion national debt. $26 trillion amounts to, well, you do the math, and it's $80,000 for every person in the United States. That's every working person, every retired person, and every baby in the United States. Our debt is astronomical. And so are we going to add a couple of more trillion dollars to it? $2.2 trillion? Well, it's not, it won't have a good outcome. I think that we can look at history and see some things. I think of Rome's history. Let's see, let's go back a long ways to 43 BC, ancient Rome. There were power struggles, and in Rome, there was always a struggle. And there was a question of feeding the population. That happened too. But at that time, something else happened. There was a volcanic eruption, and that cooled southern Europe. The temperature was reduced by 7 degrees Celsius. And that caused a great big strain on the crops. There was a lot of starvation as crops failed. So these things can happen. Oh, like right now, we have 30 active volcanoes in the world. And could there be a great covering of ash from one of those volcanoes that would dim the sunlight and reduce our crop yields? Of course that could happen. So that's one of the things that happened. If we look back in history, we see events. Well, we could go back 100 years in history and see one event, which was a real pandemic. It was a real one. The 1918 Spanish flu. So 100 years ago, the U.S. had a great big, now that was a pandemic. That Spanish flu killed 675,000 people in the United States. 675,000 in the United States. In the world, 50 million people died from that Spanish flu. And now that's what I would call a pandemic. That's a real one. And I'd say in the 1990s, this just kind of gets me, that there were several teams that went to find the Spanish flu virus in victims that were buried in the permafrost of Alaska. And finally, one of those government teams was successful, and they located the Spanish flu virus, and they have gene sequenced what the Spanish flu virus of 1918 was. So now that they've done that, let me ask you, do you feel safer because they know exactly what it is? Or do you feel more danger because the government labs can duplicate it? Who knows? But things happen in history. A lot of things change our life, and we are faced with this and with that, and that's just how history goes. World War II changed history. A lot of people surely did get killed in that one. A lot of civilians died too. There was a lot of starvation. A lot of things that were very difficult. That's what happens in war. In war, they also, the countries borrow lots and lots of money. And Great Britain was desperate not to lose that war. So they borrowed a lot of money from those world bankers. And they borrowed $10 billion. And at that time, that was a tremendous amount of money. We've had such inflation since then. But anyway, they borrowed $10 billion, or pounds, and they finally paid that off in 2006. So from 1945, roughly, to 2006, the citizens paid that loan off. That is a lot of people being affected by decisions, financial decisions. And one principle about loans is they do diminish our productivity because we are putting our efforts and our financial strength into something that we've already committed to instead of some dream in the future. The money has been spent already because we took a loan out. And that's a lesson that we can each learn, each of us personally, and we can learn it in a business way, and of course, in a national way, with our national debt of the United States over $26 trillion. It is making it so that one in every $10 that the government brings in goes to pay for interest on our national debt. And that's right now, when the interest rate is so low, one in $10 pays for the interest on our national debt. And our interest rate is so low. What if our interest rate went up to 5% or more?
I think back to the 1980s. There was a lot of inflation at that time. And at that time, the Federal Reserve Chairman, Paul Volcker, caused the interest rate to increase to 19%.
19% interest. So today we're dealing with everything and expecting our interest rates to stay as low as they are now. But we don't know, and we are not the people who determine that interest rate. The Federal Reserve does. And inflation could get very high again, and we could see high interest rates again. It's looking like it. Not at this moment, but in the near future. We do not set the interest rates. The Federal Reserve does. And so the best thing to do is not borrow money. So pay off your debt. Have savings. And yes, you can have your savings in currency, or U.S. dollars, that is. But you can also have your savings as food and supplies. And do remember a water filter. Well, I'm trying to illustrate here that normal can change. Things do change. Often, the changes are unexpected. And so
think about how you would want to prepare for the just in case. And we all do it different, but if you have it in mind, when the opportunity comes up, you'll be able to act on it. And that's why I say think about it. Think about it. See what you can do. See what you want to do. Stability is something that we really don't have. Not really. Even the Federal Reserve, they're supposed to be stable, and they are. But they change too. Just recently they made a change. Oh, let's go back. So there's been three stated goals of the Federal Reserve. One was in when they were formed in 1913, and its stated goal was to establish monetary policy by controlling the banks. In simple terms, that's what it said. So that was one change, and another change was in 1943. The Federal Reserve restated their goals as to maintain financial stability. And they also, for that reason, created the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And now, in 2020, the Federal Reserve has just stated a new goal. So another change. After in 100 years, there have been three goals. The goal now is to maintain stable employment and moderate long-term interest rates. Okay. Well, I wonder if they can do that. The point, though, is that they found it necessary to have a change in their stated goals. And whenever things change, well, you just don't know where they will end up. A change means something changes, and one thing affects the other, and the other, and the other. So we don't know what a change will actually turn out to be. And so be prepared. Which reminds me of that this is September, and September is National Preparedness Month. Be prepared for a change, and we don't know what it will be. National Preparedness Month is 1 month. I guess they figured it, 1 week wouldn't be enough, so they're reminding us of 1 month of preparedness thoughts. So what are we going to do to be prepared for the unexpected? Well, what do you need? Just ask yourself, what do you need for the just in case, what just might come your way? And the thing is, we don't know. I don't know. We just keep thinking about the what if, and we make our reasonable guesses, estimations, thoughts, and everybody thinks of what to do just a little bit differently. And that's good, because if we're all doing something a little bit different, we can all help each other with the things that we have that are different. So it's a good thing. Oh, but I do think of the couple of things everybody needs. Everybody needs water and food and warmth every day. Water, food, and warmth. So to me, those are the basics of preparedness. We all need to have a supply of water. And what would you do if water did not come out of your faucet? Well, certainly you can go to the store and get a few gallons of, well, I like to say get a container that's made for holding and storing water. And those are usually a couple of, or 5 gallons or so. And yes, so buy a couple of those. You can store 5 gallons of water wherever you are. And just have that for the just in case. to be without water. Oh, that's so difficult. It's happened to me a couple of times in life where the water company shut off the water for a day, or they had a broken pipe, or something happened, and there was no water. That changes your life. That changes your life to have no water. So, for the little cost that there is to get, you can even go to the store and get those 1 gallon containers of water. That's better than nothing. Just a gallon here and a gallon there. But I do like the harder plastic that the 5 gallon water containers come in. So that is what I hope you think about. It's real easy to have those and to store them. So think about doing that. I hope you do. I think about what warnings people have given us. Yes, over time, and yes, today. There have been prophetic warnings. Now, are you going to say these people are not prophets and they don't need to be listened to? Or are you going to say, oh, that fits right in with biblical warnings. I think I'll listen. Well, we all have a different point of view on that one, don't we? Everybody has their own orientation to hearing a word, whether it's a word of wisdom or a word of prophecy, and we all get to, figure that out for ourselves. But we can also figure this out by using common sense. There's a lot of things that are just plain common sense. Think about that one. And if you want to look at the prophecy, I think that's fine to do too. It'll help you to think. Prophecy is given for our benefit. You get to discern whether a prophecy is from a true prophet or not. And I just think it's okay to look at all of it and have a discernment as a little time goes by. Lately, there have been a number of people who have had very similar, let's call them prophecies. They often enough, it is through a dream or a vision that they have had. And this year, there have been several, mostly dreams, a few visions that I've heard about. And it gives me pause to think about them when they're uniform. And not only are the people who say they have a word, but we've had numerous people, or I have had numerous people, just local people, speak about what they have had a feeling about, that this year there was going to be something that happens. Now, I'm going back to the beginning of the year. I'm talking about before we knew anything was happening. Right near the first of the year, I have had numerous local people tell me that they have had the sense that something big was going to happen. And what do we do with that information? I think one of the things that we do is just to recognize there is a sense that a lot of people are having. And that brings me to Dana Coverstone of Kentucky. He's a pastor in Kentucky, and he had a dream, and that dream has been all over the media lately. Well, if you look at those things, it has been. Anyway, he had a dream about the COVID, the coronavirus, and that was at the end of last year, before the virus actually got active in our country. And then he saw that his dream was accurate. So in July, he had another dream.
it also was a strong, strong feeling that this was from God. He knew it was from God. And so with the first dream coming, reflecting reality, truth, he decided to speak about the second dream, about being in the future. That trouble was coming to the United States. And a lot of people have had that kind of a dream and vision, that there would be trouble coming to the United States. But Dana Coverstone's dream was unusual because it came with a time frame. And so many people who have their own dreams and visions, or who speak about them, they don't have a time frame. And like I said, there's plenty of people who have testimonies about trouble coming to the United States. So I'll just touch briefly on a couple of them. One of the famous ones is George Washington's visions. In those visions, he saw some very various serious trials coming to the Republic of the United States. One was the Revolutionary War, one was the Civil War. Well, they weren't named in that way, but it was obvious that those is what they were. And then there would be another conflict coming. So in his vision, he saw that America would be very, very overwhelmed and almost completely destroyed. And then a badly battered America would finally rise up and drive out the invaders. So that's one overly quick of review of George Washington's vision. And then there was someone else in New York, the pastor David Wilkerson. He has had a vision from, was it 1980? Right in there, about serious trouble coming to the United States on every front. And some of what he talked about was the financial systems of the world breaking down. So those are pretty simplified. I just wanted to say that there's other people besides Dana Coverstone who have had a dream or a vision. So, like I said, Dana Coverstone had that dream about Corona COVID-19 virus affecting life in America, and that dream, because that was so accurate, and this other dream was in the same way, he felt so sure that this was a word, a vision from God, that he went public with it. He shared it. And so there's a lot of people who have been talking all sorts of things about it. Either they agree or they don't agree. Well, it's his dream, and you can look at what it was exactly and the response to it. I think it's always good to look at things for yourself and also look at what people say about it. And you can certainly find that on the internet. It's all over the place. Well, in September, Dana Coverstone saw a calendar, and in the month of September, he saw a finger tap on that month. And then in November, he saw a fist hit that calendar with violence. And that gave him a time frame. And with that time frame, he talked about things. So, yeah, we see the protests going on. We see the clash between this group and that group. And let's see, some of the things he saw in his dream was armed protesters with great violence going on and people getting pummeled. So much violence he saw that people were hiding in their homes. The schoolrooms were empty. There were cobwebs growing in the schoolrooms. And the banks had their roofs blown out. And money was littering the street. That is, currency was all over the streets. And he presumed it was because money had lost its value. Churches were being burned, again in his dream, and Washington, D.C. was on fire. There were Chinese troops in America, and there were Russian troops in America. And they were rounding up United States citizens. There was blue-helmeted people, which had to have been United Nations troops also. Well, is that true? If it is, it's quite a shock. I don't know quite what to say about all those things. There are probably a few questions we could ask him about this or that. I wonder about the difference between September and November. I wonder about the banks, and I wonder about the foreign troops. And I wondered about all the attention his dream is getting. Well, I know that as you look back on prophetic words in history, there are people who have had such similar visions or dreams. The difference is that he has a time frame, and that has put him in a controversial place. So, I've heard of these things happening in people's dreams and visions for, a couple of decades. I don't know, it just makes me wonder, and it makes me know that there are things that could be coming to our country. Oh, how did I not say this? I think one of the most important parts of Dana Coverstone's dreams, the last one, has been how he heard the words, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself, because of the things that were coming to America. Another thing he heard was there was a lot of gunfire at several points. So, what does brace yourself mean? I think you put it in your own mind and your own heart, and you figure, what does it mean to brace yourself? The kind of situation that he was seeing in his dreams means that you might not want to leave your home. You might not want to leave your car in the parking lot to go shopping. There could be some real violence and upheaval in our nation, if that truly is what is coming. And I'm sure it is coming to some parts of the United States. Your part? I don't know. But it won't just affect one part of the United States, because we are a group of states. And what affects one affects us all in some way or another. And that's a part of why things are not available like they used to be. Our distribution system is not what it used to be, and we are having shortages of things. There's only one or none item of some things in a store because their distribution system has changed. There has been problems in getting things. And that makes me think of you getting extra food and supplies to have in your home. Of course it's for the just in case. Because we don't know what could happen. We don't know how bad it could get. We don't know the accuracy of any of these things that talk about the future. Well, I think we pretty much know about Revelation, chapters 17 and 18. Chapters 17 and 18 talk about Babylon. Is America becoming Babylon, or has it already?
there's a real good argument to say yes. So really have a look at all those things, and I think I'll repeat those words of Dana Coverstone. Brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. And if you don't know that there's Jeremiah 29:7, and it asks us to humble ourselves and turn to God and pray and seek God Jesus, and then he will find you and restore you. Well, that's, I just tried to say that really quick, and that was quick. Read it yourself to find the real words and the real truth of it. Jeremiah 29:7-11. So you can make a difference, and you can make a choice for your life, and certainly for the life of other people. We all influence and impact other people, and that's something that you want to be prepared for in your future too, for sharing the love of Christ in your life with the people you know. And I think one of the best ways we do that is by sharing what we have. You have some extra food? Good. You have an extra cooking pot? Good. You have something that you can send to some very poor people in another country who are on a mission, a Christian mission? Good. Do that too. There are needs all over this world, and so many people need things. Preach the gospel and just keep praying. Truly, we do not know what is coming or when the timetable for the things that are coming to this earth will be. We just don't know. But we do want to keep in mind that it's very possible the time frame could be very short. Oh, yes, and then again, it could be very long, too. We don't know. The Bible talks about the birth pangs, and if you've been around the births, the natural births, they increase with intensity and frequency. Search that one out. Get an idea. Because we do have ideas. We do have ideas, every one of us, but we absolutely do not know what God's time frame is. It could be so quick, and it could be so long, and we just don't know. We want to say yes to God for whatever is in our future. Say yes, Jesus. Reading his word, the Bible, is always a good thing to do. And that's another thing that helps you to feel like, oh, I should get ready. Because there are things in his word that tells us will be coming. And some of them, you know they're going to be difficult. So think about what you need to get ready for that just in case. And again, I always think of those basics. Water, which is the water filter. And the food. And the warmth. Warmth can be clothes. That's your first one. Warm clothes. So everybody has a different idea. Everybody sees it differently. But look at what the answers can be so that you are not hit unexpectedly. And I said hit on purpose. So brace yourself. Get ready. Oh boy, we are not sure what's coming. Well, if you look at the Bible, you do see that there's some pretty big things coming. We just don't know where, and we don't know when. But here we are right now. There is something we can do to get prepared for what the Bible tells us is coming. We do want to do that. We do want to get ready and listen to the things that are prophetic. Sure. Listen to the things that people say. Sure. Yes. Make sense of things. It's not a scary time. Let it be exciting to you to know that Jesus is returning soon, and we get to see all the things that have been predicted for ages. And we get to see it. We get to be here in this time, at this place, and say, wow, I can hardly wait to see what God is going to do. Wow. So for whatever is coming, we do want to get through it and show the love of Jesus Christ throughout it. Here we are, right here, right now. There's always something to do. And pray to God and ask Him what to do and how to get through it. And then practice hearing God's word. There's a lot of things that go on. I've certainly told several life stories on Christ Today of people in the past. And there's miracles that really do happen. They have happened in plenty of people's lives. They can happen in yours too. Be prepared for a miracle as you faithfully follow God. Things happen in His good timing, and we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, I could have talked a little more about the prophetic people. I did talk, July 11th, on ChristToday.org, I talked about prophetic people, and I included Dana Coverstone at that time. But there are people who have had a dream or a vision about the future, and they are all quite similar, very similar. And you can kind of put things together and get a pretty good idea of what is likely coming to our nation. And I will just say, brace yourself are the appropriate words. Get ready. Get ready. So for a free copy of my preparedness pamphlet, please send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope, and I will send that right back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Stay ready to love God and to love your neighbor, just like it says in Matthew 22:37. So may you walk with God and may God walk with you.